The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Owen Colford, the author, is with me. I wanted to ask you about this survey. So anecdotally, people often say, you know, young people are reading less and less. But they actually measured this in the UK. And one would suspect it's fairly similar here. And children's reading levels have fallen to the lowest level recorded. Yeah. And they're only doing it for 20 odd years, but still particularly low amongst boys aged 11 to 16. And given how many
that's my whole
work fiction you have written for boys in that category, I wonder what you make of that survey.
It's kind of depressing, but I can even see it in myself, you know, that I'm reading less and that I'm spending more time on the screen. And it's something you have to stop yourself from doing. And so if I'm doing it as a 60-year-old man, imagine the temptation for a teenager. You can read this book, or you can just, you know, watch your mates on TikTok or you know, or whatever, or play Fortnite. They're never alone now, you see. They're never, you read a book, you're on your own. But the young people aren't alone now. Even during lockdown, my boy could be playing Fortnite with four of his friends, and they're all on the headset, they're all talking to each other. So it's pretty much like having your friends with you 24/7, and that doesn't leave a lot of time for reading books. But my hope is that it will swing around again, you know, that this this too will pass, because I think this is the hardest challenge ever, but there's always a challenge to reading, and everyone always writes off reading, and reading is always at death's door, and then something like Harry Potter comes along, or, you know, or something like David Williams comes along, and it revives it again. In Ireland, we have our revivers here as well. We have people like Oliver Jeffers, people like PJ Lynch.
People like Owen Colford.
Well, you know, I gave you a gap there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people like Siobhan Parkinson. And there's all these people who bring people back to reading. And I really hope. In my opinion, the secret is not to force it. I mean, I think in the 1970s, when I was in school, you know, Irish and reading were really forced. And sometimes it was not, they didn't really try and look for what the children might like to read. It was, you will read this. And the example I always give is is an amazing book called Portrait of a Lady, which is, you know, and a wonderful book. But if you're a 15 or 14-year-old lad and, you know, Lord of the Flies is available, that's probably a better one.
Yes.
To go for, to get those kids into reading. I mean, because of that, I didn't read Portrait of a Lady until I was in my 40s, you know, because I had such memories of being stuck with all these hormonal lads, you know, sweating it out during the junior cert or leaving cert, talking about an English lady in the drawing room. We just didn't care. And we weren't focused on the beautiful writing.
Yeah.
And our love of writing, reading, was not inculcated by that.
It's probably the first time a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people will read a novel.
Yeah.
Their junior cert.
And
whatever one is on their junior cert. Yeah.
It's often that's the kiss of death. You know, you get your book, here's your Shakespeare play, and here's your novel, and that's probably it for you. And a lot of people just say, okay, it's the phone for me from now on. It's much, much better. And like, it's so much better now.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that's happening now, but when we were doing it, that's the way it was.
The Pearl by John Steinbeck was our junior cert novel. It was only about 80 pages long. Yeah. It was a great thing about it. You could read it in one sitting.
Yeah. And that's great. You know, and a short bit of genius is a great way to get people in.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to that now. I love a short book now because I travel so much. I don't like the doorstops, really. I like a little short, buzzy thriller.
And how much do modern moors or whatever's in the zeitgeist at the moment inform what you're writing or the way you're writing? Or is that a trap you try to avoid?
I did try and avoid it for a long time. And in fact, rather than doing modern moors, I used to go back and try and look into the legends. But in the last 5 years... my writing partner, Andrew Duncan, we work on graphic novels. I remember we had finished the Artemis Fowl graphic novels, and we wanted, because we have a good crack together, we said, well, let's do something original now. So we said, we'll meet in this hotel in London and we'll bring our best idea, and that's what we're going to do. So I had a few ideas. My favorite one was about this girl whose dad was a superhero. It sounds horrible when you say it out loud. But I thought this was going to be the one. But then he came in with this picture of a cathedral boat coming from North Africa, probably Libya, to Italy.
yeah,
and our artist is from Italy. And he said, listen, we have 500,000 kids who read our graphic novels. I have a daughter the age of that kid. You know, we have to do something. So that was the start of a series we're doing about these either man-made or natural tragedies that are affecting at-risk children. And it's always kids who have nothing to do with it. And the first one was about migration. Second one is about global warming, which is very cleverly called global. And the third one, which is out next year, is called War, which is about children who are trapped in a war-torn European city.
Yeah.
Which tragically is going to be, I think, is going to be relevant for some time to come. So that's not something I maybe would have done myself. But Andrew is a much more moral a guy than me. So, but I find that it's very easy to be proud of those books because they mean so much to so many people. And also, I'm not completely responsible. It's really hard to be proud if it's all if you did the whole thing yourself.
When you're writing a book like that, then that's such a contentious, well, I wouldn't say contentious, but that it's such that there's so much noise around and that there's so much adult conversation and cerebral conversation around. How difficult is it to distill it down then to something that's digestible for children?
We always say when we're doing these books that everything in this book happened, and it didn't all happen to one person. But it happened to somebody. And they're not political books. They're just, look, this is a mirror. This is what's happening. This child is not, has no political affiliation. Maybe they have a religion, you know, but they're not Democrat or Republican. They're not any denomination. They're just, they've had to get on a boat and leave their home in Africa and come to Europe. And we often, you know, we're talking to a lot of kids and we just tell them, okay, everyone stand up. Now, if I said to you, we are going to Africa now, and you can't phone anyone. You've no money. You just got to go and do it. It's actually quite a scary thing.
Mm.
And a lot of these kids walk halfway across the Sahara, which is unimaginable to any of us. And they survive and they make it here. And they don't speak English. So they're coming into a classroom with Irish kids or Italian kids or English kids. They're completely traumatized. They can't express what's happened to them. They've watched a lot of their friends have lost their parents on the trip. So we're trying to say to the kids in the class, listen, we're just telling you, we don't want you to make any decisions, but we're just telling you this child could have been through this. And the nicest thing, but also a saddest thing that happened, we were on tour in America and we kind of paired up with a lot of migrant charities and they would come and speak before us. This teacher brought a little kid up to meet us and he had the copy of the book illegal and he was just holding it to his chest and we were trying to get it off him to sign it, you know, and he just, the idea of what that meant, he couldn't grasp it, so he wouldn't let go of the book, the little fella, and the teacher said he's been using this book as a bit to communicate with the other kids. So he opens the book and he points to this picture of a cathedral boat and says, that me.
Yeah,
but then he would point to another one of a gunfight and he would say, that, not me. So he, in that way, he was able to communicate. And that was, like, for us, that was very emotional. And also it made that doing the whole thing kind of worth it because we realized this was happening all over the place.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite books I read as I wouldn't say a child, but as someone young, was I Am David, Anne Holmes' book. It's just this incredible story and... she manages so well to tell it through the eyes of the child to such an extent that it takes you a few pages or a little while to realise what's happening, who this child is on the run from and everything. So I'd be really interested to read War when it comes out. Or what's it going to be called?
It's going to be called War. We're sticking with the one word title, straight to the point.
We're on seal. Yeah. Bang. Exactly what it says in the tin.
Exactly.
How then... You know, do you now look back on the value of that book, of Illegal in particular, when, say, we see these riots in Ballymena and Larne overnight, and we were talking on this show only last week about big protests happening in City West and other places against
migrants. It's heartbreaking. I mean, I think it's because the victims are not the perpetrators. Like, you know, they're not responsible for anything. And it's all come down to education. But also you can't say that nothing's happening. So I think the whole situation is heartbreaking. And as usual, it's the poorest in our society who are bearing the brunt of the punishment. And that's what's happening all over the world. In all these confrontations we're having now at the moment, it's the poorest, most defenseless people who have nothing to do with the issue who are being punished and blamed. So, yeah, I feel it's heartbreaking. I think history is not going to look back kindly on this little period. I don't think so in 10 or 15 years.
And when you're, again, to go back to that point about what a hot issue this is, does that make it difficult, more difficult to get those books published?
Well, we have we had some trouble, not with the legal, but with global. When we went to America, because there's a lot of schools in America that, first of all, don't think there is global warming happening because it's like, you know, it's against the fossil fuels industry. But secondly, like, so that would be on the right. That's the extreme right. It's not happening.
Yeah.
But extreme left is, we don't want to cause anxiety to the children. So we had more cancellations from people saying, well, if you're coming in here talking about global warming, children are going to be upset. And the point is, the children are already upset. There's a huge phenomenon called climate anxiety that so many millions of children are suffering from because they're hearing vague details that they don't understand. Whereas we want to explain it. And what's more, we want to alleviate the anxiety by the last few pages of the book are people you can contact and little things you can do to make you feel better. And we're not naive enough.
A sense of ownership.
Yeah, ownership of the problem. And we're not naive enough to think that that's going to solve the problem. But maybe one of those kids will grow up to work for, you know, ESSO or be in the government or do something really special. So I think it's kind of, you know, hiding your head in the sand to think, to say, well, the best way to deal with these things is to pretend they're not happening.
Mm. When is War coming out? When will people be able to read it?
They will be able to read it in 2026. So I think it'll be about March, but we'll probably have an update before then.
All right. Well, look forward to it. Owen Colfer, it's been a pleasure. Owen, thanks a million.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.